Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Rugby Dungeon. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Today's Rugby Dungeon is going to be different, a completely different format. Instead of me interviewing someone or on Egg Chasers, say me, Tim and Phil talking at you continuously, I thought it'd be interesting to open it up to our listeners, mostly because there's been a little bit of controversy in rugby this week, namely Israel Folau. Now, if you're listening to this, you'll have seen the title of this podcast, that's if I ever release it, and you'll know that Israel Folau has been sacked by the Australian Rugby Union. Well, he's not been sacked yet. Their intention is to sack him. What's his crime? Well, his crime is having a religious belief. Now, there's obviously more to this than meets the eye, and that's why I want to invite listeners on who have clashed with me on Twitter to get a different perspective, because there's one thing that you might have picked up from listening to my podcast over the year. I very rarely move on subjects, so it'll be good to talk to people with the opposing point of view. And if this sort of format's successful, goodness knows where it might lead. We might do more depending on what controversy comes up next week, the week after, and so on. So here we go. Okay, so first up is Paul Topham. Paul, how are you?
I'm very well, JB. How are you?
I'm very well. First of all, thank you for doing this. I'm going to start off with a quick, easy question. You still playing rugby? Or if not, who are you supporting at the moment?
I haven't played for quite some time. I am that most loathsome of rugby supporter, an English Saracens fan.
Nothing wrong with Saracens fans, although did you see the press release that the Premiership put out last night?
The slight oversight.
Ooh, the slight oversight. It always starts with a slight oversight.
It does, but when you think about it, the two clubs who have been found to have been actually in breach in the last couple of years, Quins and Wasps, both cited slight oversights for the reasons why they did it, which is quite amusing.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that one develops. But at the moment, as far as I'm concerned, Saracens are in the clear until something else is proven.
Absolutely.
Now, someone who's not in the clear, Izzy Folau. You've obviously been paying attention to this story, so why don't you tell me what you feel on this?
I think his comments were ill-advised, if they were advised at all. He's obviously been warned about it previously from both the ARU and New South Wales Rugby Union. He's entitled to an opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, let's be clear about that. I don't believe he's having his speech suppressed. He's free to write whatever he wants to do. But if that is not compatible with your employer or sponsor or whoever else you've entered into a contract with, then I think that what we've seen today is an inevitable outcome.
I do agree. I think it's completely inevitable. And I think it's also important just to point out where we do agree here, which is what Israel Folau has said is pretty abhorrent, actually. It's not a nice thing by anyone's standard. I guess the real question is, did he deserve to lose his job?
If I had a contract with him and I was paying him for his services and I had an explicit clause in that contract that said any values that you hold, which we deem to be unacceptable or not aligned with our own, will result in a termination of contract. So if that exists, then I say yes, it's fair enough, especially as he has clearly been given a warning about this.
Yeah, now I can't speak for Israel Folau. I don't know the guy. I don't know what he was thinking at the time. But there is some speculation at the moment that one of the reasons he did post it is because of the ARU's policy on transgender athletes.
Now, I saw that tweet. Yeah.
Yes, did you see that? Does the fact that the ARU believe it has the right to dictate, you know, values to players, but not vice versa. Does that have any effect on you, Paul?
I guess it depends on the kind of manner under which the ARU are expressing themselves.
Yeah.
If it's under a banner of inclusivity, and, you know, I think we all, or we both agree that rugby is one of, if not, you know, the widely considered to be most inclusive sport, then I think, yeah, it's right. If the ARU wants to broaden its umbrella so that as many different people as possible can take shelter underneath it, then I think that's fine.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Do you think that there is an issue, though, with the fact that Israel Folau has basically come under pressure because he's got Christian beliefs and basically the mob wants him out? It's not really the fact that the ARU are particularly upset by it. It's the fact that the social media response has been so massive.
There's an element of it, JB, I'll be honest. But what I saw last night is not what I would categorise as a mob rule response. I thought that a lot of the takes I was reading were fairly measured, considering the fairly inflammatory nature of what we were discussing. I think that it's not so much his Christian beliefs that I was seeing him being pilloried for. It was the fact, and this is certainly my opinion, that he is extremely hypocritical in how he espouses those beliefs, and more importantly, how he chooses what parts of the Bible he will adhere to and which parts he will speak out against. So, you know, it's been widely documented that if you pick and choose certain sections of the Bible, tattoos are not allowed. You cannot wear a garment cut from two different cloths. So any of his playing kits would fall under that category. Has he ever taken payment for playing on the Sabbath? That's frowned upon. So he's happy to go with some of the Bible, and it seems that he's happy to ignore other parts of it as fits his agenda.
And do you think the ARU have a right to dictate to Israel Folau exactly which parts of the Bible he is allowed to talk about, though?
Insofar as the parts he has openly spoken about,
yes,
where they don't align with their purpose,
exactly.
Their belief, then yeah, I think that's fair enough. You call someone out on it, you know. Let's be clear, I think he's shown intolerance, and I don't think that that's the kind of image that any professional body would want to align with.
Why do you think it is for the professional body to align with anyone? What would be wrong with the ARU saying, look, we have done XYZ and we fully support the gay community. However, Israel Folau is Israel Folau and his personal religious beliefs are his. They do not reflect our beliefs. What would be wrong with that?
I think in one way it comes down to the fact that you're talking about a team member and he's part of a wider body, you know, in terms of the Wallabies. You know, if he was an individual sportsman, like a golfer or a tennis player, where he's not beholden to a wider body, then I think it would simply come down to sponsors. You know, if you consider that absolute sham of a press conference that Tiger Woods had to sit through 10 years ago, where he was apologising for his behaviour, that was pure sponsor pressure. And, you know, that wasn't a company that he works for. It was an association. So, yeah, I think it's fair that the ARU in this instance are right to apply pressure on what effectively is an employee.
If Israel Folau was to show up in North London wearing black and red, would you be protesting against it, Paul?
Do you know what, JB? I honestly would.
Really?
I honestly would. I would not be happy that Saracens, if that's who we're talking about, would take on board a player who is shown to be that intolerant towards a section of the society we live in. I just honestly do not think there's any place for it.
Excellent. Well, Paul, thank you very much for calling in. I hope we showed a different opinion to the one which I hold. And if we do this again, I'd very much like to have you on again.
Lovely. I'd love to, JB. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Paul. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye.
Okay, I think we made a little bit of progress there. Let's move on now to our second caller, Will. Will, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm very well. And again, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I don't know what I'm currently keeping you from.
I'm just waiting to go to the gym, and honestly, nothing too important.
Guns? Guns or leg day?
It's pecs, I'm afraid, today.
As long as it's a t-shirt workout, you're fine.
Oh, absolutely. Summer's just around the corner, so I've got to keep trim.
Now, before we get into any serious stuff, just let me know, are you still playing, are you just supporting a team?
I am playing at university, but I'm probably at the point of retiring just through concussion.
Really?
Yeah, just a few too many stupid tackles, essentially.
When was your last concussion?
It was about 3 weeks ago. In my last season, I've had about 5 of them, I would say.
Goodness me. And
yeah, so I've been told politely by a doctor that I should cease and desist.
I would probably agree with that doctor, actually.
Yeah, I have decided that's probably the best move.
Well, I am very, very sorry to hear that.
That's quite all right.
What I would like to hear, though, are your views on the Israel-Falau situation. So, give me your take.
Well, it is a remarkably tricky situation. In terms of that it's a very fine line between stopping someone from expressing their views, but also ensuring that their views aren't affecting someone else in terms of free speech. I do completely understand your point of views, and I can see where you're coming from. And it's nice to have someone from that side who is expressing themselves quite as eloquently. Mm. One point I did pick up on was the idea that you put forward that you shouldn't stop someone from expressing their genuine self without fear of physical or legal oppression.
Yes.
One point I had on that was this idea that as he is in such a position of potential idolization by kids, I worry slightly that him saying that could cause some kind of oppression towards people who are potentially, say, a younger person under the age of 16, 18, whatever it is, who is gay and hasn't yet come out, and they see someone that they potentially idolize saying that, and they take that as a point that then perhaps their sexuality isn't valid.
I think there's some logic to that. I do. I mean, I guess your point here would be that, you know, you're worried that someone who's a little bit insecure in themselves reads that, and it sort of backs up their own negative self-image to start with.
Yes, yeah, exactly. It could reinforce a potentially negative concept someone has of themselves if they see someone that they massively respect. If they see someone that they respect enormously saying that, it might delegitimise how they think they feel.
Do you think there is a good argument, though, to say, okay, well, Israel Folau has said this, but actually, look at all the other people in rugby who have said the opposite. You know, if I was struggling with my sexuality, I might find Israel Folau's views very unsettling indeed. But equally, I might find the support from people like Joe Marler, from people like James Haskell, to be of great comfort. And I actually might think, okay, well, that's one guy, but look at all the other people.
Absolutely, and I do think it's a wholly positive response that he's had. Because I don't think there's anyone that's really saying he has a point outside of people who share his political views. And I think there's been a massive outpouring from the rugby community that is wholly positive towards people who are homosexual. And I think that's one of the good outcomes. But equally, he didn't necessarily think about when he said it. And I do worry slightly about that element of it.
Yeah, you're worried more about his motive.
That is the other thing. Is I do wonder to some extent is he just a little bit homophobic? And this is all hearsay, and none of it is in any way provable. But could it be potentially that he's using his religion as a way of picking and choosing the things that he is scared of and finding a way to legitimise them?
Well, I mean, that's a good point. My previous caller said exactly the same thing, which is he's just picking and choosing what he wants from the Bible. I'm not particularly comfortable with telling people, you know, which parts they are allowed to believe in. I don't think it's my role.
Absolutely. Yeah, faith is an entirely personal thing, and you can't tell someone which bits they can take personal validation from.
Do you think there's any value in having someone like Israel Folau out there who says this sort of thing, purely because otherwise we would not have had this discussion? And actually, you know, the actual support which is out there for gay people in rugby, I just don't think would have come out and come out so strongly.
No, and that is an entirely valid point, is the fact that the response has been, I think anyone would say, really heartwarming to see. It's really nice to see people like Joe Marler coming out with their support. And that is great. It's just, it doesn't necessarily affect what he said. But it's more of an accidental occurrence that's come about, he didn't really do it with that in mind. His intentions were whatever his intentions were when he decided to publish it. And that is entirely down to him and his decisions, because he made the decision to publish his opinions rather than keeping them to himself.
Do you think there's an element of disproportionate action here, though? Because if I am a gay man reading that, I could well, or a gay woman, I could well be upset. But the facts are, we've taken away, I say we as a rugby community, we've taken away Israel Folau's livelihood now. We've taken away his means to provide for his children. He certainly can't go and play international rugby, which is where the real money is. You know, if he wants to play rugby, presumably he's got roots, presumably his church is very important to him, he's going to have to move abroad. And, you know, particularly someone from his background, being from one of the islands, religion is very, very important. Is it fair to make him choose?
It comes down to this, the old argument of free speech versus hate speech, and where do you draw the line as to what can be said under the guise of free speech and what can't be. And I don't think that anyone should be able to stop him from saying what he wants, outside of obviously objectionably, you know, horrible things.
Yes.
But I think purely from a business standpoint, for me, from Rugby Australia's point of view, they must know that him saying that would potentially push away an awful lot of people, which I think is part of the reason why they've cancelled his contract. I do think it came somewhat out of nowhere. I'm aware he had one warning before, but it does seem like it's almost like they're trying to, as you pointed out in a couple of your tweets, it's a little bit a case of them appealing to the masses and trying to show that they're taking a strong standpoint. I do think he's fallen on the sword in that regard quite a bit.
But do you think it's fair that the ALU, or any governing body for that matter, makes someone choose between their religious beliefs or, you know, or having a living, having a job?
And I do agree with your point. However, I do think to some extent he's not necessarily being asked to choose between his religion. Mm-hmm. He's being asked to choose, rather instead, not to broadcast it quite so publicly.
Yeah. Now, there is, there's a certain amount of common sense here, isn't there? And I wonder how much of this lands on the doorstep of Israel Folau's agent or whoever is in charge of making sure he doesn't do these things. Although I'm not entirely sure, how controllable Israel Folau is. You would have hoped, wouldn't you, that someone would have got hold of him and said, Israel, please do not tweet this. His camp. But are you comfortable? I'll just go back to this example I used on Twitter. In the US Navy, in fact, all the US forces, they had don't ask, don't tell rule for gay people. Is this not exactly the same thing, which is, Israel, you can believe anything that you want, just don't say it?
I do see your point. However, I think the content of what he's being asked not to say is slightly different to the Navy rules, where in the Navy it's someone's sexuality where they're being asked not to tell people that they are gay. Whereas in Israel Folau's case, it's slightly different insofar as he knows that what he's doing could be harmful to some people and he's choosing to do it anyway.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think we can both agree that it wasn't particularly wise. Whether we agree that he should have lost his job, I think is still up in the air, but ultimately, Will, thank you very, very much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for actually allowing genuine discussion to happen over it, and not just load of people slinging mud over Twitter.
Well, that's what Twitter's for. If Twitter wasn't like that, I would have logged off ages ago.
This is true. I imagine Tim is spinning in his chair at the moment.
Yeah, quite. If we do this again, I'll make sure to drop you a line.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, mate.
Cheers, Will.
Cheers. Enjoy the rest of your night. Oh, cheers.
Okay, I think that went rather well. The next caller is Charles. Charles, how are you?
I'm very well, JB. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Charles, where are you calling in from?
London. Southwest London.
Yeah. Harlequins or some such nonsense.
Yeah, that's right. Live in Southwest London, work in Richmond, big Quins fan. I'll be there on Saturday to hopefully watch them beat Saints.
Exactly. Well, you didn't do so well against Sale Sharks this week, did you?
Oh, I know. What is it about Quins playing Sale on a Friday night? We always play on a Friday night, and you guys are unbeatable on a Friday night. It's something about the long trip up on a Friday during the week. It's horrible.
Well, we were unbeatable until Danny Kerr took Faf de Klerk apart last year, which is rather embarrassing.
Yeah, and then Saf got him back on the weekend with that ridiculous tackle across the try line.
Exactly, and you're only as good as your last game.
I know. Well, look, I live near Clapham Junction, so before the game this Saturday, I'm going to pop into the party shop and pick up some blood capsules. You know, as a 10-year anniversary present.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because Tom Williams is all over the press. Well, I say all over the press, he's done one interview at least. I didn't even realise he was still at Harlequins, but he is.
Well, he's just left. I think he was doing academy coaching, and now he's moved to sort of life coaching, mentoring, and that sort of thing. So still sort of coaching, but I think he's kind of being like a motivation speaker for sort of, you know, I've had this experience in my life. I've overcome adversity. I can now help others. So he's done the BBC podcast with Ugo and Danny, and then he's done the Sky Sports one with Will Greenwood, which I haven't listened to.
Excellent. look at your podcast knowledge. So obviously...
There are much better podcasts out there, JP.
Exactly. So obviously the burning topic of today is Israel Folau. Give me your take on that.
Yes, I mean, I've kind of gone up and down with my... I mean, first of all, I think what he says... I mean, I'm an atheist, so I think all that sort of stuff is kind of nonsense anyway, but, you know... Everyone's entitled to their, their opinions and their beliefs, and that's absolutely fine. I still think he's entitled to his beliefs, and I think everybody, you know, can say what they want when they want, and freedom of speech is very, very important. I think it's one of the last sort of bastions of the kind of civilization.
Yeah.
But he's entitled to say what he wants, and he shouldn't have to apologize, because I don't know if he will, but even if he does, I think that would be weak. You know, if that's what he thinks, then he needs to stand by it, and he can do that. I also think that the Australian Rugby Union, and is it the Waratahs?
Waratahs, yeah, Waratahs? That's where he is.
They also have a right to do what they do. So Izzy is allowed to control what he does. He hasn't broken the law. He hasn't directly sort of actively hurt someone. You know, it's just words. In fact, it's not even words, it's just a picture of words, you know. So I think he's allowed to do what he wants. He's not going to jail. He hasn't broken the law. He's given an opinion. So that's that. I also think, yeah, as I said, I think Rugby Australia are also allowed to do what they want to do. So they have rules of which they abide by, and as an employee of that company, you have certain rules to abide by. It's not the government; it's a profit. It's a profit-making organisation. They make commercial decisions. I don't know if they have shareholders, but I dare say there are people. You know, there'll be a board that sort of attitude will affect their money-making ability from a commercial point of view. They have people which they have to please. Now they've got rid of him because they think it affects their PR. Is that right? Is that wrong?
I would assume it's right.
Yeah, but they are allowed to do that. And I was thinking, I run a company. It's a small company. It's a finance company. Someone came up to me and said, "I think you're. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear here, but let's say I think you're an effing a-hole, mm-hmm. and I hate your children, and they should go to hell." As a owner of a private organization, am I allowed to sack that person? I mean, that employee gave their opinion. They're allowed to give that opinion. They're not going to jail. You know, am I rightfully going to be sacking them? Of course I am. So, you know, I'm allowed to do that because it's my company. They have crossed a trust threshold, and I don't want those people working for my organization that have those views that make things look bad. So I think Australia Rugby just kind of said, you know what? He hasn't broken the law, but we don't want that type of person working for us. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, I mean, just...
But he shouldn't...
It's gone.
Yeah. He shouldn't apologise. It's his opinion, and they've dealt with it. So they're both looking after each other. So I see it as black and white as that.
Yeah, I do actually think, reading more about it, Israel Folau posted this knowing exactly what was going to happen. I am sure of that. I think that communications between him and the Australian Rugby Union have broken down somewhat on what the values are, both at the ARU and Israel Folau said, right, well, fine, the more important thing for me is his religion. I guess he shouldn't have had to make that choice. But just going back to what you said to start with, you know, you're an atheist, I'm an atheist too. I just find the outrage towards this statement particularly peculiar, particularly if you're not religious, because then it doesn't really matter, does it?
Well, actually, I tweeted you yesterday, JP. You replied. I said nothing makes me laugh more than the seeing an atheist threatened with going to hell. The irony of that, or the paradox in that, I found quite fun. Yeah, do you know what? It is. It doesn't bother me, and I'm not in the slightest bit offended. Look, this is another thing. It opens up another can of worms if you want to start talking about being offended, because people will decide to be offended whether the comment was meant to be offensive or not. You know, so that's, you know, I think offense is received, not given necessarily. I'm an atheist. I'm not in the slightest bit offended. I honestly couldn't, you know, don't care at all. So from that point of view, you're right. But I think, you know, where does it stop? You know, what can you say? You know, so there has to, you've got to draw a line in the sand somewhere. And I think he's probably past that. And he's on a warning as well, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah, I mean, I think looking back at it, he definitely knew what he was doing. Just going back to you know, as a businessman yourself, you know, you can't go around upsetting your customers, which is kind of, you know, where the PR bit came in. But the ALU is responsible for delivering rugby to a very diverse amount of people, including Polynesian people who will be supporting Israel Folau, who, you know, Australia and New Zealand have used extensively to improve their team. A lot of them are devoutly religious. A lot of them will be looking at the treatment of Israel Folau and thinking, maybe this isn't for me.
Yeah, I know. I don't think being religious, you're saying before, whether I was an atheist or whether I was a huge Catholic or Protestant, whatever, I still think my opinion would be the same. And I don't think it's actually the religious view, because there's religious views and then there's actually using it to be quite aggressive. It's like everything in this world. It's not often what you say. It's how it's said and how it's delivered and the nature of which it was delivered. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, you know, people get upset by how things are done, not necessarily what's been done, if that makes any sense. It just had a spiteful feel to it. Do you know what I mean? Just hung it out there and just sort of said, you know, read it and weep, world. You know.
Yeah, I also quite enjoyed like the groups which he put it with. I mean, we've all jumped on, you know, the fact that it's homophobic. No one's jumped on the fact that he doesn't like people that drink or fornicate or cheat or lie or any of the other things. Yeah. Actually.
I think I ticked off a few of the boxes on that list. You know, not all
I think
of them,
many people did. just one last thing for you then.
But not tattoos, apparently, because didn't Jesus or God say that tattoos should be is a sin and you should be killed as well?
Yeah, you are not the first caller to mention this. So at the risk of repeating myself now, just because you're in the world of business, I'd like to know what you think on this. Why couldn't the ARU just say, look, we are pro-gay, we've done lots of pro-gay things, everyone is welcome to play rugby under us and we'll support you in any way. However, Israel Folau is Israel Folau and he is also entitled to his personal religious beliefs. Is it not something amazingly intolerant about not letting him do that?
Yes, and again, I think this comes back to sort of the way in which it was done. You know, he it's not like someone asked him, if he was asked a question, you know, what are your religious beliefs, and he then said, oh, well, since you're asking, I happen to think this. It was sort of it came from nowhere. It was unsolicited. It was sort of needless, and it was all active. There was nothing passive about it. There was no reaction. It was all just proaction, him making a statement. And I just think it's aggressive, isn't it? It's harmless. I mean, nothing's actually happened.
Yeah, no one's been hurt. Actually. I mean, that's what I mean.
It is a victimless, I was going to use the word crime. It's not even a crime. No. It is a victimless attack or a victimless statement. But it goes back to my thing. If someone walked up to me and said, I think you're an effing a-hole and, you know, I I'm the boss or whatever, it's like, well, am I allowed to sack that person because they've said something outrageous? I think I probably am, aren't I? It's never happened, but you know, you have to say, yeah, maybe the ARU have used, but there's probably some small print in the contract that they can sack him, not for specifically given religious views, which are, you know, controversial. It might be something to do with code of ethics and all that sort of thing. I'm sure they've got their lawyers onto the case for that.
But, yeah, my view here is that the ethics work mostly one way, and that is the ethics that the ARU believe in rather than some people in the Christian faith, which, you know, I don't think is particularly tolerant.
Yeah. To answer your question, could the ARU have sort of been a little bit more sort of resilient? You know, I think, you know, just ignore it. You know, the best way to deal with these things is to not sort of give it the attention. You know, you don't want to fan the flames. But I think they've probably done the work, you know, the less of the two evils. They could have done nothing at all. Yeah. And this would have been his second offence. And they would have said, well, you know, we don't think it's our position to get involved in people's religion. They could have gone down that line, which is one. And I think probably some people, probably a smaller percentage, would have said, you know, that's very mature from the ARU. They don't get involved. They're all about the sport. They judge sport people on their results, not by their religious views. And, you know, Israel Folau certainly did a response. He's probably, if not definitely, their best player. The second idea would be, do you know what? We need to do something here. And I think that's probably more of a right decision than doing nothing at all, on balance. You know, you're not going to please all of the people all the time, but I think on balance, because it's his second offence, I think there are more people, and I'm not including, you know, extreme offensive or snowflakes or people that are hard right, you know, with these views, just your general average Joe Bloggs, if there is such a thing. I think as a percentage, I think more people will think that the ARU have done the right thing than the other way around. So from a PR point of view, they've definitely done the right thing. And I think from a common sense point of view, I think they probably have as well, on balance. I can see the arguments for against it, but I think, you know, I think they probably have. It's like the KP thing, do you remember? With the England cricket team? You know, let's not get onto, you know, Smith and Warner with the whole cheating of the cricket team. You know, there is a code of ethics. And they all kind of fit into the same thing. You know, there are certain things you should do as a world-class sportsman and an employee of an international organisation. There are some things you do and there are some things you don't. And I think he's strongly got 2 feet in the camp of doing things he shouldn't. That's my belief.
I can tell you right now, your first option for the ARU sounds like my sort of panacea. Just do your jobs and everything will be fine. Talking of doing jobs, do you think Quins will do their job and you'll finish top four?
Well, I've looked at the odds. The bookies are saying Quins are going to finish fourth, but only just. I think Sale. What's your run in? Sorry, your run in, because obviously.
I'm completely neutral, but if I was to remember our running, we've got Bristol, we've got Worcester, and we've got and Bath at home.
So you're probably going to pick up 8 to 10 points. Maybe 8-9 points from that.
About that, I would say.
That would be par. Quins have got Leicester. They'll win that. I think we should win. We'll probably be a four-pointer against Northampton. Quins to get 4 points. Northampton to get one. You know, we could lose. We could thrash them. But I think on balance, we've got a pretty strong team. We haven't got too many injuries. I think Quins are probably more likely to finish fourth than not. But Quins are really good at stuffing up at the end of the season. They're really good at it.
Absolutely. Well, hear me now, believe me later. The Sale to finish fourth. Charles, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Not at all, JP. All the best.
Cheers, matey.
See you
Bye-bye.
Soon. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. Bye.
Right, well, another thank you to Charles there for calling in. Now I'm joined by someone who's actually a bit more of an expert on things. Ben, who runs the account Rugby and the Law. Is that correct, Ben?
Yeah, that's right. Rugby and the Law, Twitter account of the blog rugbyandthelaw.com.
Yeah,
with law blog.
With what I must say are some quite insightful articles. So well done on that, and hopefully you can put me right on a few things, or at least educate me.
Cheers.
So just going from the start now, Ben, what exactly do you think of the situation that Israel Folau has found himself in, both morally and then just turn it on its head slightly and go with legally?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, for me, you know, any sort of spreading of hateful views isn't really on. And so I think from a moral perspective, you know, I can see why I can see why there's been so much outrage. I think it's justified. I think someone in his position shouldn't be using his quite considerable platform to spread those sort of views in today's society. I think, you know, if you look at the contrast with Sonny Bill Williams, he's someone who uses his religious beliefs to spread tolerance and acceptance and things like that. And I think that's the route to go down, not the hate inciting, I suppose, approach that allow things to take.
Do you think that there's any possibility, perhaps, that Sonny Bill is just basically better managed? Maybe he does have views which don't exactly conform with modern society, but he's wise enough not to put them out there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the key distinction, probably both morally and legally, mm-hmm. is that, you know, everyone's entitled to think what they like. You know, we can all think whatever, but especially if you're in the public eye. But generally, it's about when you choose to express them and how you choose to express those views. And if you do express your views, then you may well have to sort of deal with the consequences of that.
Do you not think, though, that an individual should be able to express their views just like anyone else, regardless of the size of their platform? Because ultimately, you know, when you meet these rugby players, what you effectively learn immediately is, well, they're basically just normal blokes. They just happen to be good at catching and running with the ball.
Yeah, of course. Of course, but I think the key distinction is what you said, is that when they have this sort of public platform, and inevitably sports stars in today's age have this public image, they have public responsibilities, they're very accessible, especially now in the age of social media, and I think that brings with it new responsibilities. And I think in the same way that you wouldn't expect that sort of behaviour from, I don't know, someone in a public position, a public official, member of parliament or government official, you wouldn't expect them to put that out there because they have this sort of public responsibility. I think athletes and other high profile individuals have a similar responsibility.
Why does Israel Folau not have a responsibility to his community, his religious community, to actually share these ideas? Because, you know, from my point of view, I don't think it's very fair that he's told not to.
Yeah, well, I guess that's where the legal aspect comes in. It's ultimately it's because he is an employee, or you know, he's in an employment relationship with the Australian Rugby Union and the Waratahs. I think that's where it distinguishes it. If it's just the man on the street that's not in that position, then or if you're not in an employment relationship, then that's not going to really matter so much. And you would be entitled to, you know, if you're part of that community, to spread those views amongst it. But when you enter into an employment relationship, particularly one where there's this public sort of responsibility, which I've mentioned,
yeah.
That's when I think the sort of the legal obligations come in. And that's where you are going to be, I suppose, not stopped from saying, well, yeah, effectively stopped from expressing those views in these ways.
But I mean, that is a bit of a shame, isn't it? Because we're not really getting to know the real player, are we? What we're getting to know is a facade of what we want that player to be.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, I didn't quite hit, the signal broke up a bit there. But
sorry.
You know, the facade that we do see is the facade he puts out on social media, and whether or not that's him entirely, that's what he chooses to show us of himself. And I think that's the bit that's the only thing we can judge him on is what he puts out there.
Yeah.
So I suppose from the legal perspective, then, sort of following up on why we think that he has a responsibility, is that I think the Australian Rugby Union are pretty justified in the stance that they've taken. I mean, it's probably worth saying that he hasn't been dismissed yet. His contract hasn't been terminated yet.
Yes.
They've just sort of said that they're intending to do so. And I think, you know, that's important to recognise. But generally speaking, employers are entitled to dismiss their employees for, you know, misconduct. Obviously, they're under, certainly in English law, they're under obligation to do so fairly. And that means that, you know, the dismissal must be a reasonable response to the exact conduct.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In question, and they then have to, you know, give them some fair process depending on the circumstances. And I guess that's why in that statement they put out sort of saying, you know, in the absence of mitigating factors or whatever it was, I guess that implies that, you know, they haven't taken the decision yet. They're going to wait to give him a chance to air his side of the story, I suppose. That's sort of just to cover themselves, I think, from that sort of procedural fairness aspect.
So,
and then I imagine that either way, no matter what he says, realistically, I think they've clearly made up their mind.
Do you think there are any mitigating circumstances that you can think of legally that Israel Folau can throw back at them?
I can't really, no. No, I had a think about it, and I can't. I mean, I guess something we're going to come on to say is about maybe what his challenge to their decision to get rid of him would be. But just sort of delving into the misconduct thing, I think it's really relevant that he is in the public eye. You know, your average Joe, the sort of person who works in an office, if they post something, you know, homophobic on their social media platform, perhaps that isn't the sort of misconduct which would justify them being dismissed, because it's not necessarily linked to their employment. I think that's the approach that the law takes. But when you have this sort of public responsibility element to your role, and he, you know, he's realistically Australia's best rugby player at the moment. He's an international rugby icon.
He's a superstar.
You know, don't want to blow too much smoke up him, but you know, that is the position he takes. So I think that is sufficiently connected to his job, if you like, and I think therefore that misconduct, I suppose, would go to like contribute towards his employment, and therefore justify, sort of be a reason for him being dismissed.
Tell me this, just taking the conversation in a slightly different direction.
Sure.
Do you think that we've built up our sports stars to live up to an unrealistic standard?
I mean, what is the standard that we're holding them to,
well,
I guess?
I mean, I guess the standard would be, you know, if you're a deeply if you're a deeply religious person with devout beliefs, then you basically can't put your message out there. And I'm not sure that we should be building up people to be like that. I'm sure that it'd be far more healthy for everyone if their role models were flawed.
Well, yeah, I see what you mean. And certainly, you know, I don't want to be in a position where everyone in the world has the same opinion on everything. And there's only one right way to think. I'm very much of that view. But I think there is a line to be drawn between views which or conduct which is hateful against another group. And I think
hateful isn't
the main distinction.
Hateful isn't a legal standard now, is it? Hateful is a standard. It's subjective. I mean, we don't even know if Israel Folau does hate gay people. We've just decided that we're going to attach the label of hate speak to what he said.
Well, I mean, I think the fact he's saying they will go to hell does sort of have the necessary implication that he's not a big fan, because... Well,
I'm,
you know,
just
going to hell
on.
Is a negative thing.
It is, it's definitely not positive, is it?
No.
But I would push back on that and say, you know, he plays rugby with Kirtley Beale. I mean, Kirtley Beale likes to drink, or did like to drink. You know, just because you think something is sinful in your belief system doesn't mean that you hate that individual. And do you not think, you know, from a public responsibility point of view, the people covering this story, the journalists and so on and so forth, do have a responsibility themselves to say, okay, this is wrong, but What else is Israel Folau done? How does he treat his family? How does he treat his members of his church? How much does he give to charity? What does this look like in its entirety? And is it okay to judge someone just based on one tiny, tiny fraction of their entire life?
Well, there's a few things to pick on there, but I think the distinction with, you know, drunks and other people like that, and people who behave, I guess, less well in other aspects of their life, isn't the same as making homophobic remarks. Like, sexuality or sexual orientation is something which certainly in law is protected as a characteristic. That is something that which the law considers to be, you know, an unchangeable thing about you, and therefore you're entitled to protection of that. Whereas, you know, if let's say Curly Bill, you know, he goes out and gets drunk every now and then, that's, you know, that's his choice. But yeah, being gay or being part of the LGBT community in any way, that's, you know, for most people of that community, that's the way they see it. It's not a choice.
Yeah.
And therefore, why should, you know, views against their existence or against their way of life is necessarily hateful, because, you know, there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get an argument out of me on that one. I think we both agree what he said was, well, what he believes in just fundamentally is wrong.
Yeah,
I have the problem with, does, you know, is this disproportionate? And I think that's where I come down on it. It's the fact that, on the one hand, we don't have the names of any victims that have found this incredibly offensive, and we don't know how much that has impacted their daily life, and we don't even know anything, really, other than a class of potential victims. Whereas I can see quite clearly who has been harmed by Israel Folau being terminated from his contract. That's Israel Folau and his family and his reputation, and, you know, the mob against him. And it sounds like a very, very steep price to pay for me for views that aren't even true.
Well, for the two things, I think, you know, the potential impact is quite large. As we said before, he is, you know, probably the face of Australian rugby at the moment, it's probably fair to say.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think, you know, he has a position inevitably, therefore, as a role model, someone that people are going to look up to. And, you know, whether he likes that or not, that is the position he is in. And I think for a sport like rugby to tolerate views like that is not a position that you want to be getting into, because I think rugby particularly is a sport which celebrates its diversity. You know, it's always been a game for all shapes and sizes and all people from all walks of life. And I think that's something that they need to champion. And I think, therefore, having someone who is, you know, at the forefront of the game sort of denigrating that position is fundamentally wrong. And secondly, talking about it being, you know, whether it's a disproportionate response or whatever, this isn't the first time he's done it. He's been warned about the repercussions, and what the outcome would be was probably made clear to him at that time. And I think now, you know, he's acted in full knowledge of that, and therefore is probably just going to have to deal with the consequences.
Yeah, I mean, everything he said there is basically completely true. There are just two more things that I'd like to delve into here. Would you like to see some sort of action, or do you think, you know, it is appropriate, based on what's happened to Israel Folau, that someone like Brian Moore maybe gets into a bit of hot water and loses a few jobs? Because he was pictured with a hammer and sickle. Now, people on Twitter have said to me, get over this, it's not important. But to me it is. I mean, that is basically condoning a set of ideas that's led to 100 million deaths over the last 100 years. That, to me, is far more offensive than Israel Folau posting about his religious beliefs that have so far harmed no one.
Well, I don't necessarily think you can say it hasn't harmed anyone. You don't know how people interpret those views and how that would make them feel.
But I mean, it is horrible whataboutry. I get that. And it's probably not an entirely fair like for like. But we don't know. All we have for Israel Folau is a potential class of victims. Potential. Whereas with the Brian Moore t-shirt, we've got 100 million dead by those ideas.
Sure, I would agree with you that is pretty, I don't know, it seems distasteful at best, really. But,
yeah.
You know, perhaps he would say that, you know, that symbol isn't necessarily associated with the deaths, but it's an ideology, more generally, you know, a communist ideology, I suppose. Whereas, you know, it's not the same necessarily as wearing something like a swastika, which is only really associated with horrible genocide.
Well,
and,
I mean, the hammer and sickle's pretty horrible.
I do agree. But then at the same time, who is he employed by? Who's going to take action against him? You know, I don't know what capacity he was in there. This is different because Folau is an employee of the Australian Rugby Union, as far as we're aware.
Yeah.
But I think the other interesting legal element which I was going to touch on was that, you know, his response to this, because I think really he's got no leg to stand on in the fact that it's clearly what he said is wrong, and therefore he's probably going to suffer the consequences. But the issue might be that, or the issue he might want to raise might be that it could be discriminatory against him on his on the grounds of his religious beliefs.
Yes,
which is something that people have thrown up a little bit, and I think that there it's only in terms of English law. I don't know about Australian law, but it's probably fairly similar, is that you can't really say it's directly discriminatory. The reason they're getting rid of him or wanting to get rid of him isn't because he is a devout Christian. It's because of his the hateful views that he has expressed, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, it's not directly because of his religion. But maybe it is indirectly discriminatory. These are sort of, you know, the two legal terms. And indirect discrimination, you know, it's more likely that he gets dismissed because he has religious beliefs which lead him to say X, Y, Z. But indirect discrimination can itself be justified. And so I think the ARU are going to be in a good position to justify their decision either way. You know, it's going to be a proportionate response, as we've said, to this. The religious discrimination argument, I think, ultimately would fail because of that. It's not direct, it's indirect, and if it's indirect, you can justify it.
Now, last one for you, and I'm sorry to take you a little bit out of your wheelhouse here, because it isn't a legal question, but I think it's an interesting thing. A lot of people have said, look, he has got terms and conditions in his contract. He needs to stick to those. It's a PR thing. There's been a lot of talk, actually, about, you know, how does this look from a corporate point of view? Very matter-of-fact. And that's fine, because I'm a fairly matter-of-fact guy. But does that not run counter to the fact that everybody in rugby talks about rugby values? Rugby isn't just a profit and loss-making business. It's more than that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, rugby certainly likes to think it holds its values pretty highly and pretty strongly, and I think that's important. And that's certainly, I imagine, reflected in the decision of the Australian Rugby Union. I think, you know, the terms of his contract or the regulations of that union will be reflective of rugby's values, I suppose you could say.
Yeah.
Of upholding respect, et cetera, et cetera. I think the union probably will have that in mind. I don't know if they mentioned it explicitly in the statement. I can't remember, but I think that they do have a duty to uphold those values, because that is what makes the game what it is and is what attracts people to it. But then, of course, they do also have these corporate responsibilities, and so I think there's very much an awareness that sponsors and commercial partners, etc., don't want to be associated with a brand which whose ambassador is going about spreading homophobic abuse, essentially.
I
think there's sort of that a dual responsibility to the sport and to their, you know, to their members in terms of finances.
I can see that too. Ben,
good.
Before you go, just give your Twitter account a plug and also your blog. And thank you for clearing up a lot of issues.
No, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity. So, you can find me personally on Twitter at Ben_Cisneros, that's Cisneros, or my blog at Rugby and the Law, all case. And then my blog is www.rugbyandthelaw.com. So you can find me there.
Fantastic. Ben, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciated.
Thanks very much. Cheers, JB.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, that was really quite interesting. Right, so let's have a look who I've got next. Wow. Twitter seems to be exploding. So, we've got another five or six. Okay, we're going to do two more, and then we'll leave it at that. So, let's give this one a go. Right, my next caller is Johnny McGinty. Johnny, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yourself?
Yes, good, thank you. A little bit of a different accent to everyone that we've had so far. Where are you calling from?
From Fife.
Oh, right. Which team are you either playing for or supporting now?
Play for Harrow Fife, and I'm a Glasgow fan, actually.
Hey, nothing wrong with being a Glasgow fan, an incredibly well-run team. Sorry, say that again?
Yeah, they are. I said it is around here. All my teammates are Edinburgh fans, so...
Oh, right. Well, yeah. And also, you didn't have a great time down at Saracens?
No, no. I actually went to watch Edinburgh instead of watching Glasgow.
Did you really?
I should admit it. Yeah, so I basically, it's me and my wife that normally go to the games, and we, when the quarterfinals came out, we looked at it and thought, we could spend £500 in London, watch Glasgow get slippered and come home, or we could probably go and watch the best game of the round of it. Half an hour down the road, so we did that instead.
Yeah, and actually the sad thing is exactly that happened. They went down Saracens and they got slippered, and that £500 would probably got you a couple of rounds.
Yes, exactly.
So it's quite possible that your team or any team at the moment could be signing Israel Folau, because he no longer has a job, or at least I don't think he's going to have a job very shortly. What's your take on the whole situation?
It's not going to win any internet hot takes, I'm afraid.
Ooh, go on.
But I've seen a lot of people, there's people who are holding the ARU up as this is a brilliant thing that they've done and they shouldn't stand for this attitude. And as many people saying they shouldn't be silencing Folau for his opinions and blah, blah, blah. But basically, He signed a contract where he knew what the ARU's social media policy was, and he knew that was part of his contract, and then he breached the social media policy, so he breached his contract, so he's fired for a breach of contract. I don't think it's got anything to do with what he said or how he said it.
You know, it's really interesting. A lot of people on Twitter, and I think the previous callers as well, they all seem to be rather caught up with the contract and, the contract law aspect of it. To me, it doesn't really matter that much, because rugby is a game of values. Is it the contract law and the contract side that upsets you most about this? I say upsets you, bothers you most, sorry.
To be honest, I'm not hugely bothered by it either way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot more straightforward than a lot of people seem to think it is. That's like whenever I've been on Twitter today and looking at the way people have reacted, to me, I'm a bit like, it's a bit more straightforward than what everybody seems to think it is. Like, he's been fired for doing something that his contract explicitly said he couldn't. Everybody who's saying that the ARU are standing up for LGBT rights and standing up for marginalised people, I don't think they are.
Yeah, I mean, I think actually, I'll come back to that in a second. As I understand it, one of the tweets that's going around today is he basically put that on Instagram in response to trans athletes, I think, playing rugby. I don't know how true that is. I'll have to source it. But yeah, sorry, what were you saying? You don't think that they're standing up for LGBT rights?
I don't think that that's their motivation. I think their motivation is that he's breached his contract. And he's been warned already for basically the same thing. And I think that they're position is more that he can't repeatedly do something that they've contractually told him he can't do.
Yeah, I just don't think it's fair in the first place to give him that option. To be honest,
no. And like, the thing is, because I actually saw—I don't know whether it was you or it was somebody else who had said that—and I guess my kind of opinion on that is he signed a new contract a year ago, 2 years ago.
Yes,
and he had offers, so he could have chosen any. He could have come to could have got sale, where he might have.
Yeah, been able to say apparently sale were linked.
He could have gone to France, where he definitely can do whatever he wants, really, as long as he's willing to. But he chose that contract, knowing full well that was in the contract. They didn't force him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do understand.
He had contract offers that probably had different grades of behaviour clauses or social media clauses or whatever. And the one that he chose, for whatever reason, whether it's the money or the chance to play for Australia, whatever it was that was his motivation, he chose that contract knowing that was in the contract, and he signed it anyway.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I 100% agree with that. Here's the contract. Here's your terms and conditions. Do you want to sign it? But I think if you looked at, you know, looked at it in slightly broader terms, I mean, you do not become religious. Well, I don't know, actually. I don't know his situation. But I assume you don't become religious by just picking up a book and saying, oh, right, actually, I quite like this. I think you become religious because you're part of a community. You go to church. That church is rooted in your local area. And then I think, like, well, what choice does he have? I mean, if this is really that important to him, he can't just uproot and go to France because, you know, he'll leave behind everything which he values. And that's kind of where I am with this, which is...
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. And to be honest, I hadn't really considered that. I guess because it's... For the last little while, I've been thinking there's kind of parallels between him and, I guess, a little bit of what Colin Kaepernick's experiencing at the same time.
Okay, I'd be interested to know the comparison there. Go on.
Well, he's... If the rumours are to be believed, Kaepernick's had contract offers in the NFL that have been dependent on him signing the contract saying, I will stand for the national anthem, and hasn't signed them.
Oh, is that right?
So, well, that's I mean, it's a rumour.
Okay.
It's all kind of rumours. But that, I mean, that comes down to he knows that he can't possibly do that because he's so committed to kneeling to that for the anthem that he won't sign a contract saying, I will stand for the anthem. And Falau must know when he signed his contract that one of the things he was agreeing to was not to post that sort of content on social media.
Yeah, that...
But he signed it anyway.
That's interesting. So I guess the parallel there would be, you know, you put him in a situation where you can't possibly win. There is an unfair expectation on that player. What else about this case bothers you?
One thing that I think it's hard to kind of put it into words. If Pocock hadn't been on a sabbatical, I'd be interested to know if his contract would be terminated. Because all the stuff that he did on his sabbatical, the like cheering himself to login machines and standing up for gay marriage and things like that, if you hold similar beliefs to what Falau does, then what Pocock is doing and saying is every bit as controversial as what Falau is.
Exactly. It's all relative. It's all relative. And this will be the third time that I've said this on this podcast today, which is I just don't understand why the ARU couldn't say, yeah, we are for gay rights, but Izzy is Izzy and he's entitled to his beliefs. Now, can we all move on? At least we all know where we stand there. At least we can have an open and honest conversation about these things, knowing exactly what people think.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense. I guess I don't know how Falau could do it because it's not the same sort of situation as where Pocock was going out and campaigning and things. But Pocock was not under contract by the ARU when he was doing it. I think the problem is that he's done things that probably breached their social media policy, but he did it by stepping away from the game to do it.
Mm. Do you know
whereas Falau is under contract and he knew that he couldn't do that and did it anyway.
Do you know one of the biggest things that bothers me about this whole thing? It's the fact that you never change anyone's mind by calling them an idiot or punishing them or doing anything like that. You change people's minds by exposing them to different people. And particularly for Israel Falau, it wouldn't be that hard to expose him to the local gay community or have someone come and talk to him. I don't know, maybe the ARU have tried this. I simply don't know. But if we want to actually change his mind because we think it's dangerous, I don't think it's dangerous, by the way, but we do think it's dangerous, this is probably the worst way to do it. Because not only are you punishing him and he won't change his mind, it sort of legitimizes people who hold the same views but think, oh, well, you know, I'll keep it quiet. They still hold the views. You're still not changing anyone's mind.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, definitely. I think it's been badly handled by both sides, I think, would be. Because the ARU could definitely have done a better job, but as much as they put Falau in a position that was kind of untenable because they offered him a contract saying he can do all of these things and knowing he's probably going to do them. So I was put there in a very similar position because he knew his contract said he couldn't do it and he did it anyway.
Yeah, and I think, do you know what, I've said this before, so my last caller, the more I look at this case now, the more I am certain that when Israel Falau posted that tweet sorry, that Instagram post, he knew exactly what he was doing, because he's been very, very quiet for a long time now. So obviously the warning has sunk in. Whatever the reason was, he decided to do it. He knew what he was doing, and it was a calculated risk.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't think Salah's a stupid guy. All these people saying that, well, he's an idiot, and you shouldn't be saying these things, and he shouldn't be holding these beliefs. Well, for the start, he can hold whatever beliefs he wants. That's a fairly fundamental right. But at the same time, I don't think he posted these things and is then going, oh, I don't understand why everyone's so annoyed. I think he knew fine well that everyone's going to be annoyed.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. Now, time to annoy some of your fellow Pro 14 fans. How do you think Glasgow are going to finish off this season? Do you think you're going to win the competition?
Yes. I think we can win. I think once it gets to the knockouts, I think anyone can win, because it comes down to one game. And Glasgow have got the team to do it. It just depends who we catch and what day we catch them on. If we catch Leinster in a Pro 14 final in the same sort of moves we caught Saracens in the Champions Cup quarters, they're probably too strong.
Yeah.
But you never know when it comes down to one game.
Yeah, do you know what? Leinster are an absolute aberration. If you take Leinster out of the Pro 14, anyone except for, you know, the really bad teams, anyone can win it. Literally. You put Leinster in there, well, you know, they could win the Premiership, they could win the Pro 14. I mean, they are that good, they sort of distort everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt, they're a class above anybody else. I mean, anybody who supports any Pro 14 team will know, because you can go, if you ask the Irish provinces, you can go in between Christmas and New Year and get Leinster's third team, and it's a Pro 14 starting level team. So.
Yeah, and they'd put about 60...
a difficult one.
Yeah, and the Leinster third team had put about 60 points on the Dragons' first team.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way it is. Right, well, thank you so much for calling in. Really do appreciate the chat.
No problem, thank you very much.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Cheers, bye.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, so looking at Twitter, this will be my last one. Apologies to all you who have DM'd in. I'm not going to get around to doing it. I will message you all in individually and apologise for that. But yeah, we'll phone our last caller and we'll call it a night then. Okay, this is our last call. I'm joined by Phil. Phil, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Phil, where are you calling from?
Wolverhampton.
Oh, wow. Have you ever been to the nightclub, Cheekies?
No, actually. I don't think I have.
Oh, well, so I had some friends that were down at Northampton. Wolverhampton. Mm-hmm. And all they used to talk about was the nightclub Cheekies. So it sounds like you're missing out.
Do a Cheeky Monkey? Oh, I know that one.
I've got no idea. I can't imagine there's a Cheekies and a Cheeky Monkey in the same town. So perhaps... Tell me this. Are you still playing? Do you support anyone?
Season ticket holder at Worcester.
Oh, wow. So you'll be looking forward to this week's game. I guess you think you can take some points off Sale Sharks?
Yeah. Interesting that we talk about such a, you know, a game with a neutral as yourself. But
I'm very neutral in this.
Yeah. I think it's the last sort of games we've got. I think it's probably our best chance of some points. But given the fact that it's at home, I have got a bit of a theory that we'll take points with Surrey as well, which sounds crazy. But I do think with where that is in the season, if they get through to the Champions Cup final, I do think it may give them a little bit of leeway to rotate if they've got what they want in the playoffs.
Ooh,
as well. So.
Well, do you want to know a secret about Worcester?
Very much so.
They don't rotate. They strictly do not rotate. So unless
with Darren Barry. I listened to that. It's a good piece.
So I don't think that they're gonna do that. I think they're gonna go hell for leather from now until the end of the season. Tell me this, do you think this is the best Worcester team that you've seen in some time?
Yeah, 100%. If we'd have had this team 3 years ago, I think we'd have been, you know, in the conversation for top six. But I'm sort of an advocate of being quite happy away from the top six. If you look what's happened to Newcastle, you can peak too soon and then end up sort of right back where you started the following season. So I'm sort of a fan of you know, slower development, but we haven't been able to do that. And I think the DOR situation has probably been the cause of a lot of that.
Yeah, it's difficult. I'm with you 100% there. I think this is the best Worcester team you've had, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so. I mean, they are a really good bunch of lads, but it just speaks to the, you know, to the competitiveness of the Premiership, that they are where they are. It's crazy.
100%. And to be fair, I think it's probably a controversial opinion among our fans. Alan Solomons doesn't necessarily inspire a hell of a lot within me. I think he's good, don't get me wrong, but I never really see the fire from him that I'd expect from someone who's trying to get a team fired up to battle relegation.
I mean, I do think he's a weird choice. He certainly isn't an inspired choice. Allegedly, he's very good in the changing rooms, very good talker. But, you know, I think he'd have been perfect for the Leicester job, personally, just for 1 year, get them out this mess. I think you're right, Worcester needs someone much more dynamic than Alan Solomons. There again, he's not doing a bad job.
He's not, and I think from my understanding, I think the plan is for Rory Duncan to take over afterwards, which he'd be quite... I'd be quite up for, rather than searching to try and find someone else who's kind of part of the culture we're building already. So I'd be quite happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, we will get talking about real things in a second, but yeah, one thing that I like about Worcester is, like, you win a few games and that stadium is rocking. I mean, it's only a small stadium, but you seem to fill it.
100%. When we played Leicester, when Tom Howe went over for that winning try, the place erupted.
I bet it did.
Oh God, it was one of those moments this season. Like, again, like when Heem scored the try against Bath, after the 12th scrum, it was, you know, the place has got potential. It's just sometimes it can get a little bit quiet in there. I think we just need to be a bit more consistent as fans as well to help them out sometimes.
So I guess the burning question of the day is, would you be welcoming Israel Folau to Six Ways?
Right, yeah. As long as we kept him locked in the cathedral, lighting candles or whatever he wants to do, and then wheeled him out 20 minutes before the game started, 100%.
Yeah. you know, the ALU, I think their best approach to all this would have been to have paid Israel Folau's pastor as much money as possible to preach that social media is evil.
Yeah. I think that's a shame. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think... Yeah, in my opinion, I think he should still have a job anyway. I think it's a bit of an overreaction in terms of him having to look for somewhere new to play. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you know, unfortunately for you, you're like the last of the callers. So I feel like I've kind of gone over everything. But it's a mixture. It's a mixture of, you know, first of all, it's not fair to make him, you know, to put him in this situation and make him make that choice. I also think there's an element now of you can be a sports star, but you better be the sort of sports star that a certain section of the population like. You know, you are forced into this sort of cookie cutter mold, and not everyone can live up to those expectations, because ultimately he's just there to catch, kick and run.
I mean, for me, I think it feeds into it's kind of a sign of the times, really, with the sort of mob mentality that happens on social media, the amount of people that have called for him to be sacked. I mean, it's very reminiscent of when, you know, I mean, I think it's happened in, not I'm a huge fan of it, but someone in Emmerdale's been taken down for a tweet she did a few years ago, and you know, things like that. I think it's like the Kevin Hart Oscar things. There's so much history with everyone now. I mean, where does it stop? You know, I mean, I had Twitter probably 16. So I probably tweeted some really, really like stupid stuff. Does that mean if my employer goes back into my Twitter, they should sack me for something I did when I was 16? I'm not sure where that stops. So I think it's a bit of a damning indictment of where we are, really. Not to be too sort of dramatic about it, as a society where we can kind of go, that's your opinion, but I don't like it. Delete and de-platform people and sack it. I just think it's a little bit too far.
Yeah, it is. What would you say to someone who is gay reading that? Would you not be concerned that basically the ALU and Israel Folau are not taking these issues of diversity seriously?
Yeah, I think it's a fair challenge. You know, it's not something that I'm exposed to particularly regularly, but I can understand it from their point of view, and I understand that it's horrible to read things like that. But, you know, for me, I think from an ARU point of view, docking him a couple of months' wages and maybe, I'm not sure, a lengthy ban was probably, you know, enough to kind of say, because nothing really happened last time he did it. So, not to this extent. So, punishing him and kind of a three-strike rule, maybe. I just, my main point of contention with it is how many people that wanted him sacked watched Tyson Fury fight Deontay Wilder?
yeah, probably quite a few. And it's interesting, you know, the Tyson Fury incident is really interesting because he said those things. And then it turns out that, you know, he's had all sorts of mental health issues, this, that, and the other. And I kind of think, you know, if you are putting out stuff which is so outrageous, maybe we as, you know, a rugby community should step back a second and say, perhaps this guy needs more support than we originally thought.
Potentially. I mean, if I wasn't a follower of Izzy Flau at all, like on social media before this, purely as I'm not that into Super Rugby as a general rule.
Mm.
But going back onto his profile and having a look, like I'm sure many people did, it's pretty much consistent, I'll give him that. And it's pretty much all excerpts from the Bible. And think so. I think you can tell he's fanatical about his religion. And for me, I think there's potentially, this isn't the last we've heard of it, because I think there is potential for this to go legal now and him potentially talk about discrimination based on his beliefs that he's been sat.
Yeah, I mean, I think where this could potentially go next is looking at other Polynesian players who hold similar beliefs and are equally as religious, because actually we don't understand that culture. They rely on their religion far more so than us up in the UK.
Absolutely. And I mean, where does that stop then? Do we then look into everyone who liked the photo? You know, it's a slippery slope, isn't it?
Completely agree. Well, do you know what? I am delighted that I have done an hour and 15 minutes talking to people about Israel Folau, because I will never, ever talk about this subject ever again now. For me, this is dead and buried. So, Phil, thank you very much. If you ever want to talk to me again about Israel Folau, don't bother, but feel free to call me about Worcester Warriors whenever you want.
Yeah, be a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, mate. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, Debbie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right, well, that's it. That's, well, not everyone then. That's an hour and 15 of phone calls, which I think is more than enough on this topic. So thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. You can find me on Egg Chasers as well. That's at Rugby Podcast on Twitter if you are so inclined to find us. We also have a YouTube channel where you can watch us doing the podcast live. And for anyone who's for anyone who I didn't call tonight, very, very, very sorry. Hopefully, if we do one of these again, I will call you. Just in relation to the show, if you've got any feedback whatsoever, just drop me a line on Twitter. If you don't want to do it publicly, DM me. I really don't mind. But it'd be interesting to see what you all think. Clearly, it's an experiment. Some bits might have worked, some bits might not have. But yeah, let's see what you guys think. Until next week, when I'll hopefully be back with an interview with Toby Booth, the Bath coach. Yeah, I will see you soon. So goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.